Today, y'all, we are continuing in our sermon series, Maximum Impact. I believe that all of us have the ability to change the world around us, if but in some small but significant way. Just to speak hope into a person's life, to put a smile on somebody's face, to let somebody know that everything is going to be all right. But it's not because I say it so, it's because God says so. That all of us ought to have the desire to want to change the world around us, to have maximum impact and influence in someone else's life, especially to our children and to our neighbors in our community. We want to make a difference. But God gives us a command and the call to be his representatives, that we are God's ambassadors, that we are salt, that we are light, that we have been called to make a difference in this world around us. So the purpose of this preaching series is to equip you to discover your purpose, to shine your light, overcome barriers, and leave a lasting legacy for Christ. So last week, y'all, we came from Ephesians chapter 2 as we talked about being made for more. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship, that we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared beforehand for us to do, that you were made for more, that now you have a new identity in Christ. You are a new creation. You have new purpose. You have a new destiny. So maximum impact happens, y'all, when we understand God's design for our lives. But turn with me this morning to Jeremiah chapter 29, as we read verses 1 through 11, I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 11, I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And to the best of my ability, I will try not to butcher these Old Testament names. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elder priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiakim, the queen mother, the court officials, the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elisha, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon, and King Zedekiah, ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. This is what Jeremiah's letter said. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem: build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says: do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says: you will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. I will bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought: shine where you are. Shine where you are. Captain Bilbo's, not Captain D's, Captain Bilbo's. It was a sort of an upscale restaurant that I worked in when I was about 15 or 16 years old in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, that yours truly had the privilege and the honor of being a dish sanitation engineer. that I was a dishwasher. Y'all, I had this area that I worked in. It was dark. It was kind of smelly because they had these three large garbage cans that were lined up, a table right in front of it. And the bus people would bring these loads of dishes and they'd plop it down on the table. So yours truly went into action. I had to get a fork or get something to scrape it with and get all the extra food off of the plates. And I had to take them and place them into a tub of water. I had to spray them down and rinse them off. And then I had to put them into another tub of pure water. And then I took all of these plates and these utensils and I put them in tubs and I put them into this large dishwashing machine, y'all, huge machine. And the door would slam down and boom, you turn it on and it would work its magic. And lo and behold, clean dishes would come out. Can I tell y'all something about that job? I hated it. It was dark, y'all. It was smelly. Nobody came back there to visit me. They just came to plop down dishes in my face, and I had to wash those dishes. It showed all over my face. Pastor Ye, folks, no, I didn't like the job. I had an attitude. Now, I'm 15 to 16 years, so y'all stay with me. I had an attitude. The person that trained me to do my job, he was about 10 years older than I was, but he acted like he was the king of Captain Bilbo's. Then when I had to wash those dishes, I had to wash them just right. You know, you got to rinse them. You got to rinse them. Tell him, rinse them just right. No, that ain't clean enough. And I'm like, man, what do you want me to do here? He was also an assistant cook. He was good at his job. He was grateful for his job. So grateful that after I was there for about a month and a half, y'all, he got elevated. He got a promotion. Can I just be honest with y'all? I was upset. How am I going to be here a month and a half and I ain't got promoted yet, but he been there for, I don't know, and he promoted? I'm 16 years old. Y'all got to follow me now. Y'all got to follow me. Some people are 30 years old and they still act that way today. So, so I got upset, y'all. 3 months later, I quit the job. I was done with the job. It was over for me. The point I want to make is that this young man, he shined while I shuddered. That he worked in jubilation. I had agitation. I just did not want to be there. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be up and out. But I think back, what made the difference in his life and my life then? What would make the difference in your life today? Have you ever found yourself in a place that you didn't want to be? Come on, y'all. Have you ever been on a job that you really didn't want to be on? Have you ever been in a season of waiting and waiting and waiting, and what you're asking God for, it looks like it will never come through? Have you ever been in a situation, y'all, that felt more like a prison than a blessing? Well, that's good news, because Israel understood exactly where we are. So in the text for today, Israel, more specifically the nation of Judah, is in exile. That they are captives to the Babylonians. They have a war and they lose and they're taken captive. They're taken captive by the Babylonians. For those that may not know that biblical name, it's analogous and synonymous of evil and wickedness and rebellion against God. So you got to get the picture. Here are God's people, God's chosen people, God's light to the world, but they're held captive by the Babylon, the most wicked people in the world. What's a bad thing when God will use your enemy to spank you? but everything that Judah knew was gone. They lost their homes. They lost their land. They lost their freedom. They're in the middle of this mess, but in the middle of their mess, God has a message for them. Somebody needs to know that today. You may be in the middle of a mess right now, but God has a message for you and for me. That God says to us, in short, that we still have to shine where we are. Shine where you are. God calls his people to live faithfully and shine for him, and even in hard circumstances, even in difficult situations. So if we are to live on purpose, if we're to live with maximum impact and influence on the lives of others, we have to grow in our spiritual maturity, our spiritual walk to the place where we refuse to allow circumstances to dictate as to how we show up in this world. Stay with me. Now, y'all know some Christians, none in here, look at me, don't look around. There's some Christians, some believers that wear their feelings on their sleeves, but they also wear it on their faces as well. They come into church frowned up. You ain't got to ask them how they doing. You can already tell. Look at their face, y'all. It tells you everything. Mad and upset. You kind of want to pass them by because you don't want to hear the story. Just, hey, how you doing? God bless you, brother. But then there are other people, y'all. There are other people that they're going through pain in their lives. They're going through problems, and you would never know it because they have a smile on their face. They have joy in their heart. They have praise on their lips. But I believe it's because they have faith in God. That no matter the circumstance, they'll still give praise to God. They'll still worship God. So if we're to shine wherever we are, even in dark places, I believe this story of Jeremiah about Judah can help us in at least three different ways. So I hope we understand and know these three things. The first thing I want us to know is this, as we look at the text, that God calls us to bloom in difficult places. God will cause you to bloom. He wants you to bloom. He commands you to bloom in difficult places. Look at verses 4-6. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Judah. Catch that now. All the exiles he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Sometimes God will put you in a situation, a painful situation. You think it's the devil, but God placed you there for a purpose and for a reason. But he tells me, y'all go ahead, build homes and plan to stay, plant gardens, eat the food they produce, marry and have children, get you some grandchildren, multiply, don't dwindle away. Yes, sir. You are in exile by your enemy, by the Babylon, for what holds you and keeps you down. But God said, you better prosper. Yes, sir. That you're to prosper in that place. Build, plant, have children, grandchildren. All around, false prophets, y'all. False prophet by the name of Hananiah said, listen, God had told me, he's a false prophet. God had told me y'all going to be here maybe a couple of years, but y'all gonna get up out of here. Be careful of the people that you allow to speak into your life. Be very careful. People want to tell you, listen, your trouble's going to be over tomorrow. Listen, people want to say, go ahead and blab it and grab it. Whatever you name it and claim it. Listen, be careful what you allow people to speak into your life. But then Jeremiah, the true prophet of God, said, listen, y'all, I'm sorry. I got to tell y'all this. No, he didn't say I'm sorry. He just spoke it. You got to slow your roll. Because you all will be here for 70 years. 70 years, we got a plant. 70 years, we need to be producing children and grandchildren and growing crops. And for 70 years, we will be in bondage. For 70 years, we will be in oppression. For 70 years, for real though, God? But God is saying to them, I'm calling you, I'm commanding you to not just survive in Babylon, but to thrive. God is calling you and me not to just survive in a season of darkness, a season of pain, not to just survive, but to thrive. No, the marriage is torn from the floor up. Okay, it's torn up from the floor up. Okay, that's the right vernacular. But thrive. Don't just survive. You on a job where the boss doesn't even like you. But you got to thrive, not just survive. That you have people all around you, people that may backstab you and talk about you, but you got to thrive, not just survive. That the enemy is hot on your trail, that you're in a season of pain and heartache and rejection and all, but you got to thrive, and not just survive. Don't just survive in Babylon, but thrive. Don't put life on hold waiting for your Jerusalem, waiting for your blessing, waiting for your breakthrough. You can shine where you are. You can bloom where you're planted right now. Embrace life where God has planted you in this season right now. Because too oftentimes we wait to praise God. We wait to bless his name. When our situation and circumstances get better, then that's when we want to bless him. But long as, listen, my situation is not, I'm in the mully grubs. I got the poor mouth, the pole mouth, as we call it in the South. I got the pole mouth, and I'm all sad. But no, God calls us to thrive, not just survive, even when we're in bad circumstances. God expects us to shine where we are. Y'all, Jesus said, as he prepared his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, that it's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It says that when Jesus was sent, and he had his disciples before him, that he sat and he opened his mouth and he began to speak. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says, you are the light of the world. Look at somebody beside you and tell them, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Think about it. God is preparing them to go out and to share the gospel. Think about what they would have to go through. They would be talked about. They would be buked and they would be scorned, as the old folk used to say. They would be persecuted. They would be beaten. They would die for the cause of Christ. They would be martyrs. But no matter wherever they went, whatever they do, they were called to shine. You are the light. You are the light of the world. I think there's a problem sometimes when we talk about this being light. And when we talk about this shining. Because some people, they want to outshine everybody else. that whatever they do, I got to outshine you. Yeah. Yeah, you can preach, but I don't preach. I don't preach like you, yeah. But I don't preach like that. I preach like I preach. I don't have to outshine him to get ready. I don't have to do that. Just be the best me that I can be. As long as I'm communicating the truth of God's word and you get it, that's all right with me. There are folks singing on the praise team and in the choir, and they try to out-sing the person next to them. That the ushers try to out-ush the next usher. Deacons try to out-deek the next deacon. And y'all know what I'm talking about. I've been in church a long time, y'all. I've been in church a long time. That people try to outshine one another. And here's an issue. Here's a thing, y'all, that comes to my mind about being light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are, not might be, will be, but definitive, you are the light of the world. I need some honest folk in the house today. Has the word ever made a proclamation about who you are? You read it, it says that's what I am. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm chosen. I'm a royal priesthood. But your life experience didn't really look like it. Can you be honest? God, I know what you proclaim in your word. I know what your word says, but sometimes I don't look like, my life does not match up with what your word says. That light, y'all, is moral clarity. That light, biblically, it's purity. It's holiness, y'all, as opposed to darkness and sin and evil. That we are to live as children of light, but when we're honest sometimes, we don't look like what the word says we actually are. So how does that help us? I've also discovered something. There's a difference between divine proclamation and process. That God says that you are, and you are. And you have to hold on to that. That you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, you are. That you are the light of the world. Yes, you are. That you are a chosen people. Yes, you are. That you are saved. Yes, you are saved. But you still got to go through process. Salvation and process looks like a word we call sanctification. That you come to look more and more like Jesus as you walk it out in your life. that sometimes we don't look like what the word says that we are, and we have to go through process. Abraham had to go through process. The father of many nations. David had to go through process. One of the greatest kings of Israel, he had to go through process, y'all. He had to go through process. An evil king by the name of Saul, he hunted him. He wanted to kill. He had to go through process. He looked out on the balcony one day and he saw a gorgeous woman with a Coke bottle shaved. He had to go through process. But still, David becomes one of the greatest kings of Israel. What am I saying? We all have to go through process. Jacob and Peter and Paul all had to go through process. They had to go through some bad circumstances. But God worked it out for their betterment for his glory. You have to bloom where you planted, y'all. So I was walking a few months ago in my neighborhood, and I'm walking around a corner, and there's a curb. It's a cement curb, and out of that curb, there's a crack. And out of that crack, y'all, there is one single flower growing out of that plant. Beautiful blue flower. I'm thinking to myself, that's odd. I'm looking at the neighbor's yard, and I see a whole bunch of blue flowers over there. They're in the good soil and in the grass, and they're blossoming. But here, this one single flower is, y'all, that's blossoming and growing out of a crack in the sidewalk. That flower didn't ask where it was going to be planted, but it decided to bloom where it was planted. And we got to do the same thing, y'all. You didn't ask to be where you are right now. You didn't ask to be going through what you're going through right now, but you still got to blossom. You still got to bloom. You still got to. Sometimes God places us where we don't want to be, some hard situations. Workplace you don't want to be in, you may be in a new city, you got some health issues that you're dealing with, Lord, health issues that you're dealing with. Young people, wait. Look like every other, it's some health issue. The doctor got some report they got. What is it now, doctor? What? Some you're dealing with, you don't want to be there. Even in some family struggles. But listen, don't put your life on pause. Don't wait for someday to live faithfully for God. Start building and planting and shining where you are. Jeremiah also helps us to shine where we see where he says this. Well, I'm going to say this in verse 7. I want to see from this verse that God wants us to be a blessing, not just be blessed. Let me say this. God wants us to be a blessing and not just be blessed. Verse 7, and Lord, help us today. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. For its welfare, we're determining your welfare. Really, God? You want me to pray for them? You want me to bless them? You want me to wash those dishes with a smile on my face as if I enjoy where I am in this, huh? But God, I don't want to be here. But God, do well so that it goes well with you. But let's be real. Have you ever in your life really wanted to wish good on somebody that was against you? And that's a huge problem in our country today. That we are so divided. That I can't look at you, and though you may not have the same skin color, but you are loved by God. You are made in the image of God just like I am. That you are deserving of all the honor and the privilege that God gives you as he gives to me. You're deserving too. That I see you as a human being that's loved by God. But when I see you as other than, and I see me as better than, then we have a problem. And church, let me tell you today, we have a problem. When church folk, sanctified folk, get all Pharisaic and judgmental, and we see people that are out there in the world, that they are less than we are, something's wrong. How do we dare witness to a world if I think I'm better than them? I may be better off because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want them to have that relationship too. I want them to know what I know about Jesus. But as long as I look down at my nose and I'm judging you, and then I have to, what are you? What side of the fence are you on? I are you Democratic or are you Republican? Well, get all of that. Man, can we just sit down and let me say, my name is Kevin. And what's your name? Where you from? What kind of food you like? Who your people is? and just get to know each other and cut out all the foolishness and all that mess, I think we'll be all right, y'all. We'll be all right. We'll be all right as a country. We'll be all right. We'll be all right as a people. God wants us to be a blessing, y'all. Not just to be blessed. Boy, Jesus had said, y'all. Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. So this passage encourages us, y'all, for those that have hatred towards us and ill will towards us, that we're still to radically love them. That is radical. That's something we cannot do on our own. That's we need the help of the Holy Spirit and his power to love through us, to do what God has called us to do. That we're to love as he loved. So what you telling me, Jesus, what you saying is when people talk about me, when people put me down, when people say disparaging things about me or my people group or some other people group, that I'm still supposed to love them? Yeah. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. When people stab me in the back, they talk about me and call me everything but a child of God, I'm supposed to love them? That's what Jesus said. Yeah, that's right. That we're to bless those who curse us. Pray for those who hurt you. I think about Joseph. Y'all know the story of Joseph. That Joseph finally found his way to Egypt. But Joseph was falsely accused that he was in prison. Yet he blessed Pharaoh's house and saved nations from famine. So we should shine, y'all, most brightly. And we can shine most brightly when we choose to be a blessing, even in dark places. Even in hard places, even in places that we don't want to be. God wants us to be a blessing to other people, not just be blessed. Even to those that don't deserve it. Think about this for a minute. Do you really think you deserve all the blessings that God has given you? Don't take it for granted that you have a roof over your head because you got a good job and you got a title and you got maybe six figures, you drive a nice car. Don't take that for granted. God can snatch that away in a heartbeat. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth, y'all. Listen, when I was doing my counseling practicum, y'all, I worked for a homeless shelter downtown. And I can't tell you the number of people that I actually met and saw that had corporate positions at one time in their lives, but circumstances went bad. There's one lady I can think of that she worked for the insurance company, USA. She was an exec. She got sick. She got cancer. Her husband walked out on her. Her insurance lapsed. She had no more health insurance. She had no more money in the bank. And here she is sitting down at a homeless shelter. I said, my God, if it can happen to her, who am I that it couldn't happen to me? Don't get so high-minded and big-headed that you think it couldn't happen to you. That's what we ought to be, a blessing, y'all, to everybody we run into. Speak words of hope. Speak words of encouragement. Be a blessing, not just being blessed. Last thing, y'all, we're going to be done. We're going to baptize, y'all. I love it. I love baptizing. That God gives us hope beyond our present circumstance. This is the crux of the lesson, verses 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised you. You got to hang on to the promises of God. You got to hang on to what God told you. It may not look like it in this, but hang on to what God told you. Hang on to the promises of God. For he says, for listen, I will bring you back home. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So we often approach Jeremiah 29:11 as if it's some kind of security blanket. Oh, brother, I know what you're going through, but God knows the plans he has for you. You know, God has a bright future for you. Yeah. But we kind of talk to people like, listen, don't worry about it. God's going to bring you out instantly. But it's important to read context to understand the text better. That's like reading some of the scriptures before a particular text of scripture, reading some stuff after it, so you'll get the whole context. You get a gist of what's going on in the whole story. So when we read this, we see the gist. That God's people, Judah, they are in exile. They are captives, y'all. They prisoners of war. But in the midst of everything that's going on, God says, still be a blessing to those who are against you. Be a blessing to your enemy. And don't worry about nothing else. Listen, my promises to you will come to pass. I'm going to bless you. And then we get to Jeremiah 29 and 11. So oftentimes, y'all, we just use it as any old kind of statement. I know you're suffering, right? But God knows. And he does know. But what the text really teaches us is, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of dark seasons, in the midst of uncertainty and chaos, listen, God is with you. And at God's appointed time, God will bring you out. In the meantime, that you got to thrive. You got to bless his name. You got to praise God. You got to worship. God commands to worship no matter what we're dealing with. That's what the text is really, really all about. Listen, exile wouldn't be permanent for them. That their pain was, it had an expiration date. God's plans were bigger than Babylon. God's plans are bigger than your prison. God's plans are bigger than your pain. God's plans are bigger than your darkness. God's plans are bigger than the season that you're in right now. That your season has an expiration date. It's what Paul says, y'all. I believe Jeremiah 29:11 is like the Romans 8:28 of the New Testament. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. What you're going through is not good, but God is good. And at God's appointed time, God will bring. God is working it all out for his good. God is taking your mess and your messiness and your problems and your pain, and God is working it out for your good. He's working it out for his glory. Do you believe that today? Come on, can you give God praise on that today? Do you really believe that today? That God's working it out on your behalf. God's working it out for you. Y'all, when you look at a tapestry, a beautiful work of art, you look on the backside of it, y'all, when it's got all these strings and stuff all on the back of it, but you flip it on the other side of that, and it looks beautiful. That God sees the top of your story. You see the pain, you see the darkness, but God sees the beauty in your story. So we have to see things the way God sees things. So today, if you feel like you're captive, God has a future for you. God has a hope for you. Don't confuse your present location with your final destination. Did you hear that? Yeah. Don't confuse your present location with your final destination. God's plan is still unfolding in your life, in my life. Yeah. So the message, y'all, of Jeremiah 29, it's really a simple lesson. You need to build where you are, bless where you are, and believe that God is still working where you are. So wherever God has placed you in a season of joy or hardship, in a place that you want to be in, you don't want to be in, shine where you are. I believe this, y'all, because even in Babylon, God's light can shine through us because we are his people and his spirit lives on the inside of us. Share something really real quick. I believe because God's spirit lives on the inside of us, that the deeper the darkness, the brighter the light should shine on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. The deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. The deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. The deeper the pain, the brighter the light. The deeper whatever you're dealing with in this season, the brighter the light. The deeper the discouragement, the light gets brighter. In a season of despair, the light gets a little brighter. Dealing with hardship and pain and loss, the light gets a little bit brighter. Dealing with problems on your job, folk don't like it, that's where the bright light just gonna get a little brighter. Dealing with difficulties in your marriage, that's all right, the light just gonna shine a little bit lighter. People are backbiting you and talking, that's all right, it's gonna shine a little lighter. The deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. We ought to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to let the light shine. The deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. I don't know what you're going through, but God, the deeper the darkness, the brighter. Let your light shine that people might see. It will be for your good, but it will be for God's glory. So, to maximize your impact and your influence on other people, we have to learn, y'all, how to shine where we are. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Shine where you are. Shine, shine, shine.
Shine where you are. Shine where you are.
Perhaps there's someone here today and you feel like maybe you're stuck in Babylon. You've been crying and you've been praying, you've been searching, but it just seems like things aren't coming together. Maybe you feel like, listen, I'm dealing with more of a prison situation than a blessing, and I'm waiting on God. You need to know that God will come through. But in everything, it starts with a relationship with God. And the only way we can have a relationship with God the Father is through his son, Jesus Christ. An Old Testament writer by the name of Isaiah said it best, that he was wounded for our transgressions. Speaking of Jesus, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's by his stripes, what he did on Calvary's cross, that we're healed, we're bought into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But you and I have to choose that relationship. We have to accept that relationship with Jesus. How do we do that? We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. We believe that God raised him from the dead. We admit it. We admit the fact that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And the only Savior that we have is Jesus. There is no other. Confucius cannot save you. Buddha cannot save you. No other world religion can save you. The salvation only comes through the person and through the work of Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hands. It's this Jesus that we believe in. So if you are here today, if you're here today, I need you to hear me. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not promised. You need to receive this Jesus today. Pray with me quickly. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of all those who are gathered here today. God, for those that may not have a saving relationship with you to speak, let them know the truth of your words, those words that were just spoken. We admit, we confess, we believe that Jesus is who he says he was and is. And we accept him as the Savior of our lives today. For that person that may be here, but they're not connected to a local church somewhere, speak to their hearts even now. Let them know they need to be connected to a place where they can worship with other believers, serve with other believers, be held accountable one to another as your children, to walk in your truth, to fellowship together, to love one another, and to go out into the world and to tell people about Jesus. So saved for the first time, seeking Jesus even now, already saved, God, call them by your Spirit. I pray and we pray. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit, in this moment. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So our ushers are standing in the back of the room at this moment. Their hands are extended. If you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you need to have a saving relationship with Jesus. As I said before, yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not promised. That we will all spend eternity somewhere. Don't get it twisted, don't get it wrong. That we all have to stand before the judgment seat of God. But what will determine your fate and your destiny hangs on the balance of what you believe about Jesus. Is Jesus, was Jesus who he said he was? And the truth is, he is. But do you accept that today? If you refuse to accept that, your eternity will be in another place. And I'm not ashamed to say, like the old school preachers say, is hell. Hell is real. Hell is torment. Hell is separation from God. And that's where you'll spend forever and ever and ever. So I beg you, I implore you, receive Jesus today. If you are a born-again believer, you need to be in a place where Again, you can fellowship with other believers. And Living Faith Community Church is a good place to be. Hands are extended. Just follow them in this moment right to room number one, right where you are. Get up from where you are in this moment. Get up from where you are in this moment. Don't pause. Just get up from where you are. Go with them to room number one. If you're unsure and you're uncertain, just get up. They can answer any questions that you have. You'll meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll answer any questions you might have. Just get up from where you are in this moment. Just get up in this moment. Just get up from where you are in this moment. Don't be scared. Don't be ashamed. God wants to save to the utmost all that come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. No matter what you've done, he still loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants to save you. He wants to set you free. Would there be another? To those that are online right now, there is a link that you can fill out. It's on the online right now. Fill out that link, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you, and we'll welcome you to Living Faith with open arms. Would there be another? We don't rush this moment.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.